Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude. This is Real Spoilers, episode 362. A little behind the scenes thing that you can't see because it's visual. But I just really impressed Joe with my ability to turn on the clock.
I'm not gonna lie. The thing started beeping, and Tom was like, "Oh crap!" and like quickly clicked through the clock, and I was like, "Oh!"
And
right on.
We have a clock that we kind of keep track of how long we're talking.
Paying attention to.
Well, it's better than it used to be. You don't get a lot of 2 hour episodes anymore unless it's about Marvel. But yeah, and I forgot to turn it on. So right, I was like, "Oh, I'm scrambling for my thing." And just to add in, just to make it even cooler. You'll vouch for me here.
Yes.
It's behind me.
Totally behind you.
I had to pick up the remote and do it behind.
Like. I mean, okay, another peek behind the curtain is there's glass behind me that Tom is in.
Don't ruin it.
This is a very thin curtain, guys. Yeah. I think we might want to dial down.
I know, it's true. We don't want to ruin the magic.
The prowess of infrared remote controls.
I'm not going to lie. I saw the face
Tell me more, Magic Man.
I saw the face you made when I did it, like, all before the thing said it was up and running. And it's like, you made it like, how about that?
That
and it
was like, good.
And I'm pretty sure I was making the same face. I was like, oh, I can't believe I pulled that off.
That's pretty impressive.
We're wizards.
Yes.
Well, and another peek behind the curtain, I memorize all these box office numbers. So
every week.
That's impressive. Yep. Yeah.
Week after week.
You're like the guy from A Beautiful Mind.
Yeah. So what was the box office report for the week ending February 19th, 2000?
We have to make sure we were doing them.
16.
There you go.
I don't even know if the week ended.
You just said it. February 19th, 2016.
What was number one at the box office?
The number one movie.
Exactly.
There it is.
So I guess we can go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Dan.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. I caught Dan off guard.
Yeah, I was like, how do I, like, I thought to myself, how do I want to introduce myself like I was ever going to do it any different way? I'm like, you're just like, well.
Is this a special edition introduction?
I'm still Dan.
Yeah.
This is regular old Dan.
I'm springing forward.
Springing forward. So shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. New review. What do you think?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you looked.
I mean, it's gotten to the point now where you don't ask me every week.
You never review.
Why won't my screen
Because he
zoom
forgets
in?
To ask
right,
unless
right.
there's a new one.
So we do have a new one. I can't zoom in my screen, so let me get super close here.
I'm pulling a Dan.
Oh, do you need a magnifying glass for that?
Hello, computer. It's been a while.
How are you doing?
Well, you know, iTunes with the gray font on white.
What the hell?
Brilliant.
What the hell?
3-point font.
Yeah.
Comic Sans.
So this is from Bethreen.
Okay.
The title is Fill Your Ear Holes With This.
I like it so far.
Yeah. This is by far my favorite podcast.
Ooh.
She's our new favorite listener.
She is. Dan, come up with a song, please.
Whether you love or hate the movie being discussed.
Does she share?
I don't know.
she doesn't appear to be. He's got a very strict policy on this.
Yeah, that's true. That's fair.
Reviews are nice, but you got to share too.
Yeah, sure.
So whether you love or hate the movie being discussed, these guys bring an interesting perspective. The tangents are a delight. sometimes like listening to brothers argue, sometimes like residents of an asylum. Why is it? Why is it got to be either or?
Yeah, why can't it just be both?
It can be both.
And the difference is,
Like it's like we could be brothers who are also
in an asylum,
need to be incarcerated for our own mental health.
Maybe we could own asylum. That's what we should do. We should just buy Asylum.
Yeah, there's a lot of money.
Why
in that,
and then promote all our movies? Would that seem like a wise investment?
I don't know. Apparently, they keep putting movies out. Well, I have no idea.
Guys, we're in the Asylum business.
Well, they have all those Blockbuster exclusives. Yeah, those
Now they're now Family Video exclusives.
You know how like people go to a bar and they're like, "Man, bars are great. We should open one." That's what Joe does, but with Asylums.
With Asylums,
yeah.
This is a great idea.
Oh man, these jackets fit so snug.
My shoulder just pops in and out whenever it wants. It's fantastic.
It's a delight.
There was a moment where I was like, "Yeah, I could." Like, you know, there's like three bars that are on SLU's campus that have now closed, and I was like, "Yeah, dude, like let's just buy a bar." And we'll make all this money. And then you think of the logistics of it and like people like bartenders stealing from you. I was like, nah.
And
people puke it on your floor.
And you
the hours are wonderful.
Right. Yeah. That's
as you already know.
Yeah.
That's where I was going. Like it's everybody's like, oh, it's fun. And it's like, well, it's fun because you're at a bar and you can leave when you're done having fun. Right.
There's a whole How I Met Your Mother episode about this.
Yeah. About
when they open
a bar?
Puzzles. Yeah. They're downstairs and they of course are at the bar drinking and what a great idea. We'll open our own bar, and they turn the apartment into a bar and they call it Puzzles, and Ted, and they're like, what's that mean? And Ted's like, it's a puzzle. And so it just, but people just never leave and they're wrecking all their stuff, and you know, that lasts about a day. So it's the whole thing. It's exactly what you're talking
bounced.
About.
That was the idea pre bouncing. And then I bounced and I was like, nope. This is a terrible idea.
Yeah.
I'll never do it.
No. It's, I mean, I worked at a bar for 5 years, and I didn't have to do any of the hard work. I just booked the bands. Like,
that's the easy part.
I thought you were like Coyote Ugly up on the bar spinning.
I was thinking more Double Deuce.
Had my tassels.
Nope.
Yeah,
have a different, when I said your bottles, I was not thinking. No.
We would cut people's ties off. Except it was Pop, so nobody ever wore a tie.
That's true.
And people that aren't.
You were lucky if somebody wore a shirt.
Yeah. For people that aren't from St. Louis, Pop's is a 24-hour liquor license.
Yeah.
It never closes.
No.
And,
how do those shifts work?
I mean, they.
Like, if you're a bartender, what do you work?
Loosely. Yeah. Pop's was interesting. And I loved working at Pop's, so, like, I'm not bagging on it, but it's definitely, it has character, right? And, but it's three different bars.
Right.
Like it's, I mean, if you go from like 6 to midnight, it's a concert club. You could go in there and you could, you know, you could have seen Evanescence or Coheed and Cambria.
Who's coming back, by the way?
Yeah, with Lindsey Stirling, the violin player chick.
Lindsey Stirling puts on a great show.
Is that right?
So I'll be going for Lindsey Stirling.
But didn't they lose like the dude that was the main part of that band?
Ben Moody?
Yeah.
He's been gone for years.
Yeah.
When was the last time they had an album came out?
I think it was fairly recently.
Yeah. Oh.
Wake Me Up.
That's the only thing I remember is that first album.
I will go and see Lindsey Stirling open, leave. I don't care about them, but she puts on an amazing show.
I got to tell you, Amy Lee, she's a pretty lady.
Yeah, I'm sure
she can sing like a mother.
I kept their tour manager out of jail.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yes. So.
Well, you can't say that.
Oh, can I? Okay. It's not a short one.
It's fine. I mean, this
it's
is
the
just
box
a box
office,
office
report.
Report
okay.
So,
wait, did we finish this review?
I don't think we did.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, okay.
We finished this.
All right.
So thank you, Bethany.
Thank you, Bethany.
How many stars?
5.
Oh,
perfect.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I don't read them if they don't leave 5.
Oh, we just make them into t-shirts.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Because of that one.
The one t-shirt we have.
So Evanescence was playing the club, and it was their one of their first dates outside of their hometown. Like they had just that single was just climbing up the charts, and it was interesting. They weren't sure if they wanted to play Pops or this other club. They were like one of when they first started. They were kind of like, we're a Christian band. If you're a Christian band, wink wink. But like if not, we're and then
our song got put in Daredevil. So
yeah,
you know.
And then when they had a hit, a real hit, they were like, we don't know what you're talking about.
We are not a Christian band.
Yeah. So they didn't want a lot of money. I won't say how much they wanted, but whatever they wanted, I was like. They were like, here's what we want, but we think we might go play this other club because it's smaller. And I was like, I'll give you like $2,000 more, you know. And
And they were like, what? I've never done that. But I was like, I knew the local radio station was behind the song. I had no doubt it was going to sell out. And I was like, they're going to get it in the back in any way, like that, like bonus money, not anal. And
like the back of a Volkswagen. No,
they're a Christian
band. Too early.
So I snuck that one in on you.
Too early.
Snuck that in your back end.
Or wait a minute. Is that a Catholic thing where like that's not having...
Sodomy is not... okay.
Yeah.
I don't think sodomy is not okay.
I mean, the Bible coined the phrase sodomy.
No,
Sodom
and Gomorrah. I remember just hearing those stories about like the religious kids where it's like, yeah, but we're
I still got my V-card.
We're still virgins.
That's definitely a thing. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the day of the show, the agent made me add this band out of Minneapolis, I think, called Flipped. And they were awful.
Was it spelt stupid?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I think it was like F L I P P
apostrophe D.
Get out of here!
It has to be if that's
and
your
so,
name. Yeah.
But the agent, like, I wanted to like add somebody local that had a little bit more of a goth vibe, especially at that point. That's what Evanescence was doing.
Oh yeah,
sure. And this band was like a glam rock band.
Gross.
And not a good one. And it was like, but the. So I think the Asia
would have been better off with enough is enough.
Right. Yeah.
Was that an apostrophe?
Yes. Oh, I know. I know you got my.
So Dr. Zhivago was busy.
So
Zhivago.
Sorry.
Dr. Zhivago is a 3.5 hour film.
Right. Yeah, I have plenty of those records. Yeah, you could.
Omar Sharif. So I knew I was in trouble when Flipped showed up in a tour bus.
Uh-oh.
Now, I will tell you how much I was paying Flipped, because screw those guys.
Some tells me they're not a band anymore.
I don't know if they are or not. I don't care. They're getting like $500. And so they showed up in a tour bus, an honest-to-God tour bus. And I was like...
Like a real tour bus. Not like a converted...
No. Like
how
a
do they afford
Josie
that?
And the Pussycats kind
of
thing.
So that was my question, is how do they afford that? So apparently they had gotten signed to Hollywood Records and then dropped pretty quickly, and they took their advance and spent it on this tour bus. And so now they're like, we're going to drive the tour bus to our $500 gig.
We got the bus.
So these guys come in, they start making all these demands, right? They're like, we want, you know, our rider set. I'm like, rider? You're getting paid $500. And Pops, actually, they treat openers great. They treat openers better than probably any other club in the country. And they will make sure that you have food and like, but if you come in with this long list of rider stuff,
right.
It's like, you're a $500 band.
You're an opening band.
Like, you need to dial it down. And
how how many guys were in a band?
I think there were five guys in the band,
$100 a night,
plus a tour manager, plus like they all had their girlfriends, and it was like,
what was that Lorne Michaels thing where he's just like, I didn't think you'd give Ringo less,
right? Yeah. No, he's like, you can divide it up however you want.
You can give Ringo whatever you want.
A little Ringo a little less. So they wanted, I mean, they were asking for like 15 cases of beer. And I was like, no, here's how a $500 band works.
you get cases of Stag.
You get case of beer, case of water, towels, and we'll let you eat at the bar. Like, that's how that works. And they were like, oh, they're just throwing a fit. And so then they want their agent on the phone, which is luckily the same agent for Evanescence, right? So they get me on the phone. So they're like, our agent wants to talk to you. And I'm like, okay. So they go in my office, and I put the agent on speakerphone, and the guy from Flipped is like, they're not giving us our stuff. And the agent's like, Tom, what's the problem? And I was like, well, they want a ridiculous amount of stuff. And like, it doesn't, it's, you know. And he's like, what are they asking for? And I started to rattle it off, and I was like, and he's like, well, don't you provide the bands? I'm like, yeah. I told him I give them beer, water, towels. They're an opening act. And the agent's still kind of hemming and hawing because he's got to, you know, kind of.
Yeah. He's got to put on a show for his buddies.
He's got to straddle both worlds.
Right.
And I was like, look, here's the deal. I'm like, this show has reached back end, not the anal kind. And
like the kids.
Yeah.
Like the kids,
So the band is, Evanescence has hit their bonus, right?
Oh, I got you.
So anything I do is a show expense at this point. So if you want, I'll go buy him 3 buckets of caviar, but it's coming out of the bonus. So I'm not paying for it. Evanescence is. Mm-hmm. And then there's just this long silence, and then the agent goes, Jimmy, pick up the phone. And then he just sits there and turns white.
He's like, uh-huh.
And he's like, okay, uh-huh. Thank you. And he hangs up the phone, and he's like, yeah, the beer, water, and towels will be fine. Can we still eat at the bar?
No.
And I'm
there's
like,
a McDonald's down the street.
Yeah, and I was like, yeah, that's fine. So then we find out. So I tell you that to tell you this, because what does this have to do with keeping Evanescence's manager out of jail? So then the manager for Evanescence, who was a big deal, because Evanescence was on Wind Up, and like they, and I think this
were they tied up with Seether?
Well, for a while, I think she dated the lead singer.
Okay, right.
And so the tour manager they had was a way better tour manager than a band at this level should have had. Like this guy, because they knew that they had something. And so they sent a guy that was like the real deal. I can't remember his name, but he was like the real
Jimmy
deal.
Iovine.
Yeah. And he used to work with like Van Halen or somebody. Somebody real high up that it was just like he had no business with a band this new, except Wind Up knew they had a tiger by the tail, right? And so,
for about 2 years.
Yeah. And so, he comes up and he's like, dude, he's like, this opening act, they're trying to shoot off pyro. And I was like, no. And this is like maybe 2 months after the Great White.
Oh, I was
going
to ask when. Yeah. How, yeah.
And I was like, no. And he's like, we got to shut him down. I'm like, absolutely. So we're like, no. And then it becomes, you're just scared that we're going to put on a better show. No, we're scared you're going to burn the place to the goddamn ground and kill a bunch of people because you guys are
too stupid.
You don't know what you're doing. And so, so they're like, okay, fine, we won't do the pyro, right?
Their pyro is literally like two Roman candles they picked up from Molly Brown's on the way in.
Yeah, I don't know. They showed up in a $250,000 tour
that's
bus.
Fair.
So I'm scared to see what pyro these idiots.
These are the same guys? The $500 guys?
Yeah. And so I'm like,
I'm looking these guys up on iTunes. Right,
so
now.
I'm like, we're like, no. And so they go up, they do their half hour set. And so, and since they couldn't do pyro, they end their set with a pillow fight.
Huh.
Right?
With girls?
No, just with people in the band, I guess. I don't know. I wasn't out there for it. So they have a pillow fight with like feather pillows. Right? Stupid. So
that's also a waste of money.
So there's feathers everywhere. Okay. But wait, it gets worse. What the band didn't know, because they didn't tell anybody they were going to have a feather fight. Right? The night before Evanescence, who played the bar?
Fago. Oh, I mean, ICP.
ICP.
Yeah.
So we hadn't had time to really clean the club properly, so it was still coated in a thick lacquer of Fago root beer. So this band had effectively tarred and feathered the stage. Like, it was, like, ever. So it, what should have been a 20-minute changeover ended up being, like, 45 or 50 minutes. And so...
That sounds awful.
Yeah. And so they're walking off stage, and, like, the tour manager, making air quotes, the tour manager for Evanescence, Flipped, like, gets snotty with the guy, with the tour manager from Evanescence. And he's like... He's like, you just can't handle that. We put on a better show, and you guys can't follow that. And then at that point, the tour manager for Evanescence just punches the guy right in the face and, like, just drops him like college algebra.
Sounds like they deserved it. They absolutely deserved it.
Unfortunately, it's still a crime.
Well, right.
Yeah. Still assault. Yeah. And so,
even at Pops, I thought they had their own. They're not their own municipality there.
So the police chief was there that night because he was it was a sold out show.
He
just wanted to make sure that everything was going to be cool. And he's super cool, like super nice guy. And so he comes up and he's like, he sits down in my office. He's like, so Tom, he's like the tour manager for Evanescence. He's like, he punched him and like. I gotta take him to jail now. And I was like, well, you can't take him to jail before the show. And he's like, they're out there throwing a fit. And like, I gotta do something. I'm like, okay, well, the manager is also running front of house for Evanescence. So like, I mean, he's running the soundboard.
Right.
So it's like, if you take him to jail, there's no show. And I'm like, so you're going to have a sold out show, 1600 kids for like, really at that point, I think you could honestly say, maybe the hottest band in the country.
Probably. Absolutely.
And from an up-and-comer standpoint.
Sure.
And I'm like, and you're going to tell all those kids there's no show because this guy got what for? and he's like, well, I guess I could just take him down and book him and fingerprint him and then just turn around and let him right back out as long as we have his information. And I was like, well, the show starts in like 20 minutes. And he's like, you got to promise me you're going to bring him down.
He's not going to punch anybody else.
He's
not going to leave town.
Right. Yeah. And so I went and found the tour manager and I was like, look, here's the deal. I'm like, they want to arrest you. And he was like, oh, how many minutes do you get for assault in this town? You know? I'm like, this is Sage. My check is signed by a Sage. My boss's name is on the side of the police car. Like, we can make this easy. I'm like, but they just need to be able to say they booked you and fingerprinted you. And then at that point, it's in the court system and it's a problem
for
another day. And it won't disrupt your tour.
Right.
And they were, I think, supposed to do Leno in a couple days.
Okay.
And so he was like, okay. And so as soon as the show was wrapping up, I went and stood by the soundboard. And as soon as I went, like, let's go, I threw him in the Geo Prism, the same one that ICP had doused with Fago root beer.
Is it still
all
sticky?
Comes full circle. It's what ruined the finish on the car.
Oh, wow.
And so drove him down there, had him fingerprinted, had him back like half an hour later, put him on the bus, and they ride out. So I kept
that's pretty good.
I kept Evanescence tour manager.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's they're one of those bands, man, that there was nothing. But yeah. But there was nothing else like them. Like, they had found like this weird niche with a rock band with a girl lead singer. That,
yeah,
I remember it was the goth kids loved them in high
school.
Oh
yeah,
you know,
for sure.
I mean,
that first album's not a bad album. It's a pretty good album. Like, it's, I mean, if, for the time,
yeah,
like, it doesn't hold. I don't think it holds up very well. But.
Yeah, but it all, like, all of this stuff hit at the same time. It was Hot Topic, you know.
Oh,
like, they had a venue
absolutely
that played their music all the time. And,
yeah,
and at that time, everybody was still going to the malls because there was nowhere else to go.
Right.
You know, when you're teenagers,
you didn't trust the internet with your credit card.
Yeah. So when you walk through the mall, you're always like, there's always a store blaring that one
also
song,
like they
all
also
the time.
It's so they, to their credit, like Hot Topic, because I worked at an American Eagle and the Hot Topic was like four stores down. It was black. Mm-hmm. Like every storefront was either like, you know,
yeah,
like the American Eagle one was like a green and a blue or
sure
white or whatever. And then you walk past Hot Topic, uh-huh, and they've got like that gothic script,
yeah,
like the Hot Topic logo, and it's like a circular entrance, mm-hmm, and it's all black. And I was like,
it's like a cave. Like,
that's
the stores are located,
like,
in a cave.
To their credit, like, that's, you know.
Guess what? In all the malls that are dying, there's Hot Topics.
There's
in
Hot
every
Topics
one,
in
so
every
it's
single
like
one,
they
yeah
have that niche where
the,
it's just.
The Young is your only rest. This is the only one. The Young Bucks, who are a tag team in Japan, they're part of the Bullet Club. They are the highest. They are the. I think they might. So WWE has like a licensing deal where like they'll sell their shirts. Mm-hmm. So
how is that if they're not in WWE, but they sell their shirts?
Oh, okay. So here's what happens. So the Hot Topic people are at a WrestleMania, mm-hmm, and they see people wearing these Bullet Club shirts.
Like, oh, so they just want to sell it as one of their cool, trendy shirts. Okay.
So
I get
like
it.
They go to Vince and they're just like, hey, what would it take for you to let us license to sell those Bullet Club t-shirts at our store? And he was like, what's the Bullet Club? Because it's not his.
Right.
It's all from Japan. Like, it's a Japanese promote. It's a Japanese thing. It's all in Japan. And Vince is just like, what? So.
Oh, let me get back to
so
you.
What he does is he goes to Japan and he signs 1, 2, 3, 4, at least four of the most popular members of the Bullet Club to the WWE so that they can't be in the Bullet Club anymore. But yeah, they're just like, Vince is just like, what's the Bullet Club?
That's funny. And now that shirt is
and now
just
that
like,
shirt is like in pop culture. Like, it's a pop culture
even
thing.
Podcasts are parodying the
it's
shirt.
Really,
it's
weird.
Crazy.
I don't know who would do such a thing.
Interesting.
We did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember going into Hot Topics. It was funny because I'm like the old guy in Hot Topics. You know, they're all like, what's he doing in here?
Well, you weren't the oldest.
Yeah. I'm looking at all the shirts at the wall and I'm like, I've booked that band and that band.
I went to see the movie.
And the kid at the counter is like, what's that band?
Yeah. I went to see the movie yesterday. I was wearing a Metallica t-shirt and the girl behind the counter goes, how do you say that?
What?
And I go, how do you say what? And she's like, what, your shirt? What does that mean?
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, Metallica? And she was like, yeah, what's that? I was like, it's a.
The only
just,
the thing
a,
is,
can I just
with,
have my soda, please?
If it's not the summer, the only people the theaters can get that will take $7 to work those jobs are
just kids.
Kids.
She looked
they're
like
just,
a kid.
They're
yeah
all kids. No, I mean, concession stand. They're just
Julia also agrees.
Yeah, they're just little kids that work there. Yeah. They don't know what they're doing.
She's like,
so,
I saw somebody else with the same name on that shirt, and I didn't know what it was.
So metal, like, okay, were you nice to her though?
Yeah, I was it's a band. It's a metal band, and she was like. Is it like
Joe's
rock?
Always nice. He's not rude.
It depends.
Well,
it depends.
I will
be rude.
It's one of those things.
It's
like I would struggle. Like I struggle in situations like that when like people say something about the Ramones and they don't know who the Ramones are.
I was taken aback for a minute where I was like, it's Metallica. What do you mean? How do you not know how to say that?
I would just like to point out, I've never had that problem with the Monkees.
It's because nobody knows who they are.
Everybody knows who the Monkees are.
Halloween zone.
Yeah. I would just say there is nothing worse than a Sheldon Cooper, though. You know, that nerdy, I know it all and I'm better than you.
Right,
when you don't understand what they, that's the worst type of fan. It's just
those
so,
are the worst.
Yeah, it's so hard to watch those type of people be like, oh, you don't know.
How do you not know
it's
who
like,
this?
Like, wow, you just need to go back to the basement, buddy.
So now that we've definitely gone off on a tangent,
ta-da!
We should probably turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin has his abacus. Is it at the ready? Did it fall asleep?
No,
it's waking up.
No, it's at the ready.
Okay, well
smack
then,
it around a little bit.
I memorized it twice while you guys were doing that talk, so it's fine.
Awesome. Well, let's have at it.
Sure. So this weekend, once again, the number one movie at the box office is Black Panther, $40 million in week 4. It has passed
$1 billion.
Worldwide.
Is that the fastest Marvel movie to a billion?
I still would say Avengers probably was faster, but still, this is a movie that has broken all expectations. It has exceeded anything that people would have hoped for this film. Kevin Feige has said they're thinking up ideas for the second one. It's going to happen. I mean, which is obvious, but he actually said it recently. Yeah. So, I mean,
they were pretty quick to announce that, though. I mean, they were like, oh, there'll be a sequel.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, I think it was like during the closing credits from the screening.
During the midnight screening.
They're like, oh, there's going to be a sequel.
Well, no, they're like, Black Panther will return in Black Panther 2.
Black Panther
even
2.
When Infinity War's going in 2 months. They're like, no, Black Panther 2.
I am interested, like, if that, like, obviously Avengers has a built-in audience, but I'm interested to see if that audience is going to grow given this movie.
Oh, I'm sure the
like
Black
people
Panther
are
going to
go
crowd.
See.
Well, or in the reverse is I'm curious if there's a spike in like Civil War.
People
like,
picking it up,
like downloads or viewings.
Oh, sure.
For
to
people
go back
who were
pick,
like
yeah.
that, there's a lot of
wait,
people.
He's,
who didn't
he's
know.
In a different movie.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, well, you may want to check this out.
Yeah,
and I
you should.
I would expect that there is. You know,
yeah.
I mean, can't see what Netflix's numbers are, but
I guess that's true. Yeah.
I suspect that it probably shot up.
Sure. Yeah, he's awesome. I mean, Civil War is what got me so excited for the Black Panther movie. And I was more excited for that than anything, Guardians 2, anything else that was coming out between Civil War. I'm like, I want that Black Panther movie. And Doctor Strange ended up being a delight because it was different. But I'm like, I want something different. Black Panther looks so different.
Yeah.
And, you know, the look and the style and the culture and everything. And it ended up being a great surprise, even above what I thought.
Oh,
and
they did too. I mean, Civil War is good.
Yeah.
But they did two things with it that made people, you know, it was like, I think they might have figured out how to do Spider-Man right. And Black Panther can't come soon enough.
Yeah, exactly. So, and so Black Panther, over $1 billion worldwide, deserves it. So nice to see it getting that success. And, we'll see where that ends up, but making plenty of money for now.
I wonder what DC is going to do now. Well, you know what? We are going to do Green Lantern next, and it's going to be...
they got... It better not be Armie Hammer.
No.
Jake Gyllenhaal?
No, who was the...
Idris Elba is...
No, there was the... There was,
oh, they did. They it's the guy from Mission Impossible.
No.
What?
The director of Mission Impossible.
No, I'm thinking of like when it wasn't Hal Jordan and then
Guy Gardner.
Kyle Rayner. He's talking about Idris Elba or what I always say
John
is
Stewart.
Idris Elba should be John Stewart.
Yeah. So what they're going to do is, you know.
Well, they did just cast Kristen Wiig as Cheetah.
Yeah, no. Well, right now, DC's like, maybe we should do that.
Maybe
can we get Chadwick Boseman to be Hal? John Stewart as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, now that I think about it, Sterling Brown would be pretty good. I don't think you're going to get Elba at this point. I don't think that's going to happen. Sterling Brown is a solid choice. Sterling K. Brown, sorry, is a solid choice to be John Stewart.
Could
they go that way.
Well, coming in at number two is another Disney movie. This one not making quite as much money. A Wrinkle in Time opened to less than Black Panther's fourth week in release. $31 million.
Ew. Swing and a miss.
Yeah, that apparently it is horrific. Did you see it, Tom?
I did.
I heard it is horrible.
It just doesn't do anything. They just kind of, you know, in Clerks 2 when they're making fun of Lord of the Rings,
yeah.
It's like, it's just all walking.
People walking.
People walking. That's kind of what this is.
Yeah.
It's like for this grand adventure that takes place, you know, in the outer reaches of the universe, like you just don't really feel like they do much.
That's
what
The Hobbit is.
I feel like it's like Tomorrowland.
Well, but Tomorrowland's problem to me was that they were never in Tomorrowland.
But it never went anywhere.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like it,
when well, it didn't go to Tomorrowland.
When it was in Tomorrowland, the opening scene was like right on.
I still have never seen it. I can't believe they show it and then they never show it again.
Yeah.
From what I heard.
That should have been the movie.
Right.
Yeah. That they didn't realize that should have been the movie is just baffling.
Yeah. They're probably like, that will take too much money to make a whole movie.
Yeah, but it was Brad Bird and Disney. Like
I know.
And Clooney, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They clearly were throwing around money.
It was right there.
Yeah.
They had so it close. In their hands.
That's too bad.
So it was a well-intentioned mess of a movie, and it was just, which is a shame.
Yeah.
I think
every kid's read that book, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously...
I've never read it,
but
what is it about?
I don't know.
It's about a Wrinkle in Time.
Yeah, I have no idea what
it's like.
It's from the 60s, though.
Yeah, like 62 or 63. Yeah. The dad's a scientist, and he kind of disappears into the universe, and they need to, like, travel into the universe to go find him. And
that's Chris Pine?
Yeah.
Chris Pine's the dad, yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, and so it was... But it was just... Yeah, it never really...
Who directed that?
Ava...
Oh, that's right.
Am I seeing right? Directed Selma.
Yeah.
Which was really good.
Yep.
I liked Selma a lot. The movie, not the incident, just to be clear.
Fair enough.
I like Selma Hayek.
Yeah.
What?
Selma Blair?
I don't know if you remember the movie Selma. One of the major obstacles it had to overcome was that the King family wouldn't give them the rights to anything Martin Luther King had ever said.
Right.
So they had to try and recreate these speeches. There was a lot of that I'm sure that screenwriter was doing a lot of right clicking on the thesaurus. Like,
what's another way to say dream?
Yes.
I have
a nocturnal emission.
No, don't do that.
No, they weren't doing that speech, but still, he gives a very famous speech in Selma, and they couldn't. They had to recreate it with different words.
What was the reason?
That's where they make their money.
Yep.
You know, they put that big monument to Martin Luther King in the Washington Mall, and there's a quote on it.
You paid for that.
They paid for that. The government had to pay to put a quote from Martin Luther King on a monument to Martin Luther King.
But you would think that making this movie about Dr. King, you would think that, you know, I don't know. I would think you would want
I get the movie holding out for money more than I get the monument.
True.
Like, the movie is like, at the end of the day, that studio's still making money off of this. So, like, I'm like, okay. But the monument?
To him, already spending lots of money to make.
Yeah,
wasn't there another movie that came out? Maybe it was just Selma. I thought there was, like, a competing movie that was based on his life.
Yeah, I feel like there was something similar. Like, it was almost like a race to get it to the box office.
Right.
Yeah.
And that was the one where, like, they wanted to make it, like, truer to his real life, and they wanted to talk about the adultery, and they were just like, no.
Yeah.
Like, you do not get to talk. You can talk about the stuff that he did, but you don't get to talk about the stuff that he did.
Interesting. I don't know. But anyway, yeah, that's swing and a miss for them on that one, all the headlines.
It's interesting that Disney can't put out Pixar, their animation, Marvel stuff, Star Wars. But if they want to do an original or, like, something that's not in those quadrants, they can't do it. Like, they can't make it work.
They've kind of always had that problem.
Oh, really?
Yeah, unless you want to go back to, like, the Apple Dumpling Game.
Oh, okay. It's
the first movie I ever saw in the theater.
Oh.
You know what I mean, though? It's like, that's when they've always had problems doing sort of...
Original, quote-unquote,
original
properties.
Well, let's just say PG live-action movies.
Sure.
And, I mean, you can go back and look at, like, The Black Hole. You can look at... God, I mean, it just through not counting Touchstone, you know, not counting in,
right.
You know,
yeah.
which they had huge success with.
Sure.
Well, tell us, yeah, what's your favorite Disney live action movie?
I couldn't even tell you.
Exactly.
Like, I really couldn't.
Their animated stuff.
And if you pick your favorite Disney live action movie at this point, you'd probably end up picking a live action version of an animated Disney classic.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, those are the ones exactly.
Jungle
the
Book.
Those are the ones that work. Yeah.
Something Wicked This Way Comes.
That's what
Mighty
I was thinking.
Mighty Ducks,
I was
probably
thinking,
back when you were a kid.
Is that a Disney
kid?
Movie?
Was
yeah.
it?
Oh, yeah. That's, it probably is the Mighty
so,
Ducks.
So, I mean, like Mighty Ducks.
Like Escape to Witch Mountain.
That Darn Cat.
The Incredible Mr. Limpet.
That's not Disney.
Snowball Express.
It's not Disney?
No, it's not Disney. No. Oh. Snowball Express.
I was thinking that, too.
Blackbeard's Ghost. I love that. Just because Peter Ustinov.
Yeah. But yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I mean,
that's fair.
They're live action. It's just like they're known for their. There's a reason why Disney is synonymous with the mouse and the cartoons because that's
but a lot of those live action movies, though, in all fairness, made a ton of money.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Like part of the reason they were doing them is because they were cheaper than the cartoons and they wanted to be able to put out product that wasn't a cartoon.
Yeah, right.
Because they were so. That took so long.
Bedknobs and Broomsticks, was that them?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
But that's got animation mixed
that's
in.
That's technically counted as animated movie.
Yeah.
Same people that did Mary Poppins, the Sherman Brothers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, wrote the music for that.
I did see that trailer. That didn't look that bad.
What's that?
That new trailer from Mary Poppins.
Oh, yeah, I haven't watched it.
Yeah, it looks all right. I also, what was the other one that I saw?
Winnie the Pooh?
The Grinch looks not bad.
That animation, the animated TV movie is one of my favorite animated movies of all time, and I think the new animation looks awesome.
It's Illumination, so
yeah, I mean it's great animation. Benedict Cumberbatch, I think he could pull it off.
Yeah, why not? And then the Christopher Robin
with the Pooh Bear.
Yeah, like the grown up Christopher Robin.
You know, I thought it was weird in the trailer for that
For
Christopher Robin. I pointed this out to Kevin in chat, but. In the opening of the trailer, it says, "From the studio that brought you Beauty and the Beast."
Yes.
Like the live, and I'm like, does Disney really need to remind us who they are?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, that's who they are.
Right. Yeah. Like, because normally when I see "from the studio that brought
it's
you,
to remind you, sure.
And I'm like, and I'm oh, also yeah. like, it's kind of a joke because it's like, you know, Warner Brothers Studios has been around for, you know, 80 years, and they've made so many wildly different films and of wildly varying quality when you're around that long, right? And so it's like Warner Brothers doesn't really, or really any other studio, doesn't really have like a brand of like, I expect a certain type of film from them. But from Disney, I do. But they don't need to remind me of it.
Not in this day and age.
I think the most helpful is the director of, because the mainstream audience doesn't understand that. And then even when you go from the director of Iron Man before Jungle Book, it's like, well, they don't know that John Favreau is not a... for the non-movie people, a household name. So when you're like, oh, the director of Iron Man is doing a Jungle Book movie, one of my favorite cartoons, like, that's helpful.
Right.
Yeah. But the studio is like...
They just want to get that logo in front of...
Because it made $1 billion.
Yeah, because they want to drive up, you know, kid interest.
Exactly.
But yeah, it's just like, I don't even think you need to remind kids what Disney brand me.
The other... Well, so this is going to be... Like, Wrinkle of Time is obviously one of those... It's like Tomorrowland. It's like, because they spent a ton of money.
Right.
John
they
Carter.
Do also have those other, John Carter. Yeah. They also have those other live action movies that are the small ones, like the Girl Chess movie or the John Hamm movie.
Oh,
Disney sports.
Yeah. Which, you know, the feel good, uplifting movies, which are pretty good and sometimes really good. But I also think budget wise that they don't kill them.
Sure.
Right. Sure.
You know, like they don't lose a lot on them. So I think they probably,
and every once in a while, one really hits.
Yeah.
Like the Mighty
Ducks. And then they got their nature movies.
Yeah.
Which are, you know, super cheap, right?
And they're also like, they use those for technological testing.
A lot of
they
times.
They donate
those,
the money.
And a lot of times those nature movies aren't really made by Disney.
Right.
Oh, sure.
A lot of times it's
it's
like a BBC show that they license and rebrand. Yeah.
Gotcha. Put the Disney logo on there and make $5 million.
Disney Nature.
And then I think they donate like half of it to charities.
I think a lot of those Disney nature movies are tax write-off.
Big old write-off.
Absolutely.
That's cool. They're good, too. You know,
it adds some feel-good to the brand.
Yeah, they're just good feel-good, you know, seeing all the animals.
It's more content for their new streaming channel.
There you go. It's going to be interesting to see what they come up with.
The new Star Wars TV show.
A Wrinkle in Time will probably be on there pretty quick. So coming in at number three, The Strangers sequel, right? It's the second one.
I got to tell you, that first one,
it was good.
So good.
It was good.
So good.
You've all said this. I've never even heard or I don't know what The Strangers is.
Really?
It's Liv.
Yeah.
It's Liv Tyler and I feel like it's maybe Owen Wilson. Wait. Which is the...
It's not a Wilson.
Either way,
that movie was insanely good. Like, don't worry. Neither one of those characters are in this movie.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Spoilers.
It's a very, yeah, it's good.
I mean, so you remember the opening scene in Your Next where the couple's in the house and the people are, it's like that for an hour and a half.
Okay.
Where like the people are just messing with them the entire time.
Yeah. Except for these people are secretly like survivalists.
The couple you meet in the beginning of Your Next.
Yeah.
Are
Scott
not
Speedman.
Yeah.
Oh, the guy from Underworld.
Yeah.
There you go.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But it's if you haven't seen that first one, oh man.
Okay.
It's good. It's unsettling.
It is.
Are these the ones with like a bag that a face is drawn on the bag?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I've seen
this. This is one of those mask movies like The Purge.
Right.
Except for, you know, it's actually pretty good.
And it's a home invasion?
The first one is, okay. I don't know what this one is.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, interesting. Katie does not like those movies at all. So like it's hard to, you know, let's go see a movie. Like we'll never go see that. So I would have to go watch it on my own.
Find the first one.
Don't
worry about this. I don't know anything about the second one, but get the first one.
Nice.
For sure.
We'll check it out. But anyway, this one made $10 million. And if it does follow our recent trend of low budgets, I don't have one on this one, but you know, horror movies have been coming in on the cheap and they make $10 million opening weekend. So
good to go.
Yeah.
I think Blumhouse has two in the pipeline.
Strangers?
No. Like two more movies that are coming out.
That sounds painful.
It does, doesn't it?
Two in the pipeline?
Two in the pipeline.
Eat some bran.
Easy.
He's debating.
He's thinking about it.
He's debating.
Like Truth or Dare.
I don't think Strangers Need. It's one of those movies that kind of wish they wouldn't have made a sequel.
It's cash grab.
Yeah. It's kind of like, just like I just watched, because there's a Shout Select Deluxe Edition.
Oh, for Strangers. Yeah.
And I just watched Drag Me to Hell, and
So gross.
Like it even more now because, and I watched the unrated version, which is even grosser.
Yeah.
But I like it even more now because it ends with such finality that you're like, no sequel.
There's no way to do a sequel to that movie.
Don't need it. Somebody had chimed in because I posted it and somebody said, oh, I wish they had a sequel. I was like,
no.
I'm kind of like, it ended in a way it was like, but I don't think we're going to have one.
There's,
like Cabin in the Woods.
There's always a way to get a sequel.
I know. But I like those movies that like show that they're not even trying.
No.
I don't know if you guys do this, and maybe it's like people that aren't looking at things from a critical perspective, but I never go into a movie going, man, I hope they make a sequel of this. Like, I just want a good movie that a story is told and done with. Like, what is it?
Depending on the genre, whereas like I want to see more of that character. Like that, I mean, if you want to call that a sequel, I guess.
I get that. Maybe if there's a character you really like. But like this thing where like this need for sequels, like Baby Driver, I don't want a sequel to that. And they're making a sequel.
Are they really?
Yeah.
And Toddler it's like, Driver.
Yeah. But it's like, okay, Baby Driver was great. And if Edgar Wright's behind this, you know, it may be good again. But like we do not need a sequel to Baby Driver.
Right.
Like I'm not excited.
Can we get From Dusk Till Dawn? Like that's what I would want.
Yeah, I mean, I would take a sequel.
I would say
that,
I could see a sequel to Baby Driver working in the way that Road Warrior worked as a sequel to Mad Max.
Yeah.
Like now that they know that they've got something, they give it a little bit more money, a little bit more time, and they let it really amp up. Like I could.
Can they get rid of that kid?
What,
Ansel Elgort?
He was. I did not like.
Oh,
him
I thought
at
he was
all.
Great.
I liked Baby Driver.
Bring Cameron on board. It's gonna be Baby Driver.
I'm really looking forward to the Alec Baldwin version, Baby Boss Driver.
Baby Boss Driver.
Yeah. That'll be nice. Yeah.
That'll be good.
I liked it, but I was not in love with it the way other people were. I was like, it's.
But it
it's
ended.
Good,
it was nice, you know. It ended the way that it did with the two of them, and he's gonna have to answer for the stuff they did, and then they'll continue on. Like, I don't feel like we need him on more adventures. It's not that type of movie. Like,
yeah,
he was in too deep, you know, and he finally has a chance to get out. Like, oh, we got to pull you back in. We've got a job, and now we've kidnapped your girlfriend, so you have to drive for us. Like, you know, what situation could he get into where he needs to get back into the life that he is now
out
of?
What if someone bets him that he has to get an elephant to Texas in 48 hours?
In a hurricane.
Well,
that is
different.
In a hurricane.
Well, now that takes it back to the other side.
I think Dan's the only one that really fully got my joke. That was the plot of Smokey and the Bandit 2.
I got it.
Oh, okay.
I got it. I don't think I've ever seen 2.
Oh, it's decent.
Okay.
It's not 3.
Fair enough.
It's certainly not 1.
Right, right.
No.
But
it's a middle ground.
It was solid for what it was. Right. But yeah.
It's not 3 where they had to recast it.
Smokey is the Bandit. They had to re-edit the whole movie. Like, it's a fascinating story. Yeah. If you've never heard the story, I won't bore you with it because it's already a long one, but Google Smokey is the Bandit.
Yeah.
And it is a fascinating story of what happened with that film.
Yeah,
yeah, right. It's
way
yeah.
more interesting than the
film itself.
Yeah. Did Hal Needham direct that too?
I don't think so.
Okay,
but I'm not 100%.
Megaforce.
Yeah, he was off making. He was making Megaforce money, and it probably was around the same time.
Yeah.
Number 4, one of the two movies from last week, Red Sparrow, already dropping down here, 7.9 million.
Oh, she dropped down.
Yeah, she did.
But it wasn't sexy, so you can't say
it wasn't.
Like that.
There was one.
It was sexy.
You can't. No, it's in the movie. That's in the movie.
I posted on Facebook today when I shared the episode. I was like, you know how the kids say sorry, not sorry? This movie is sexy, not sexy.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Yeah.
But it has made $7.9 million its second week in release, a 53% drop from a pretty small opening. It is at $30.8 million domestic on a $69 million budget. It's made 31 overseas, so we're talking about around 60 on a 69, so not doing too well.
On a 69.
Yeah, that was awkward on their part.
Yeah, like they
should we just throw in an extra mill?
They should. Yeah,
no,
should
they wanted it there.
They should have either spent the extra million or knocked a million
I think
out
of them. No, I think they spent up to get 69.
Yeah.
How much is it going to cost us? 69 million. Done.
Perfect.
Just not that kind of movie.
Make sure you put that out there.
Yeah. It's all the press releases.
Number 5, Game Night, made $7.6 million, so just barely less than Red Sparrow, but it's only a 27% drop in its third week in release. It is now up to $44.7 million domestic on a $37 million budget with another about $16 million overseas.
Interesting.
And so, this movie was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I really had a good time.
I need to check that one out. That's on my list. So maybe.
It's weird. Like, you know, we went through that good run in, what, the early 2000s?
Early
of like the rated R comedies where they were churning those out like once every 3 weeks.
Well, getting... they were all kind of unique.
Yeah.
And they weren't.
I thought The Hangover is what brought back the rated R.
I think
R
it
comedy.
Was Wedding Crashers.
That's
what I thought. It was Old
Hangover.
School.
Was Old School R?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I guess because of the records it set, I just thought The Hangover was like, whoa, we can make it.
I think Old School was.
Old School was,
the
old
first
school
one.
Was okay. Like the Laugh Pack.
Yeah.
We're going where, streaking.
Yeah.
You're my boy, Blue.
So great. Such a great
movie. I need to watch that because it's been
good.
10 years.
But then
yeah.
like that
great.
And then Wedding Crashers.
I like Luke Wilson's wedding speech when three people nude
come out of your closet like a goddamn magic show ready to tag team your girlfriend. He's like, and that's where it ends right there. It comes over here. And he's like, I think my buddy Mitch is trying to say is love is blind.
And isn't,
I'm not good at talking.
It is classic.
Isn't Old School Todd Phillips?
Yeah.
Who directed The Hangover? That's what I just remember that. I'm like, okay, that's kind of where I first saw him.
Yeah, that's right. And then they got into the Apatow stuff. And then the Apatow stuff has gone away for
the most
part. Can you
believe Superbad, Superbad's like 15 years old or something like that crazy?
I know. That makes him go old.
15 years old.
Apatow seems like he's really paired up. He likes to work
with... He's gone to Netflix.
Well, he seems like he's really in a mode where he likes to work with women right now. Like
yes.
He was very involved with Girls with Lena Dunham, and then he's worked... I think this
Love.
New Amy Schumer movie is him again.
Lord.
I think that new Amy Schumer movie looks really funny.
Really?
I feel pretty...
I do. Yeah.
I laughed.
I thought that trailer looked great.
Seen it twice, and I've
maybe I saw
laughed
not
times.
A good trailer.
I think it's a great premise. Mm-hmm. I think I think that movie.
Who's the boyfriend?
I'm gonna double feature that with Shallow Hal.
Yeah.
What is
that?
What's
is
the premise?
I hate
that movie.
Yeah.
I also don't like Jack Black.
You know the movies where people like the body swap movies where all of a sudden they're in a new body.
Sure.
Okay. It's a body swap movie except she didn't swap bodies. She's concussed. She falls and hits her head and she wakes up and she thinks that she's in the body of someone who's as just as smoking hot as a supermodel, but she's still Amy Schumer.
Yeah.
Oh, it does sound like Shallow Hal.
Yeah, kinda.
And
It looks.
And
pretty
it looks really
interesting. I guess
funny.
I haven't even seen the trailer.
The trailer
what was
really
the
funny.
One that was not funny? Because Trainwreck was really good.
It was the one she did with Goldie Hawn.
That's what
that
was
bad.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
That was really
Snatched.
Bad.
Yeah.
That was really bad.
I don't know. I don't think Amy Schumer's funny.
I think she's very. I think she's that last special was not that
oh,
great.
Oh God, no, that last special was horrific.
The specials she put on before funny. That are very funny.
That was such BS change in the Netflix ratings or whatever, because like, no, those 1 stars are because that special was terrible.
Yeah.
That special was not very good. She was also targeted for other reasons.
Well, maybe, but I would have put
they
one
could
star
both be
on
true.
That. I mean, yeah.
It's somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
As most things are.
So anyway, number six, Peter Rabbit made $6.6 million, a 34% drop. That is up to $93 million. Again, it's one of the only really kids' movies this time of year.
Everybody
so
gearing up for Easter.
Yeah. There he comes, hopping down the bunny trail. $88 million. We're around $90 million domestic, but another approaching $20 million foreign. So we're looking at about $110 on a $50 million budget. So good for them. Buy plenty of carrots. And number seven, Death Wish, another movie we recently did a couple weeks ago, $5.8 million, a 55% drop. It is sitting at $23 million domestic on a $30 million budget. So, yeah.
It deserves it.
It does deserve it.
It's sleepy Bruce Willis at the helm. That's what you get.
That's what he is now.
Yep. Yeah. Number eight, Annihilation, a movie that is faring quite well with critics, but not with the movie-going audience. It has only made $3.2 million in its third week, a 43% drop. It is at $26 million on a $40 million budget, no foreign. Oof. So, yeah, about half its budget.
I wonder what the Netflix
well,
deal
there probably is no foreign because it's all Netflix.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
true. Yeah. They don't distribute it. I just didn't know if that was just like a year or
sure,
know,
totally.
Whatever.
It's not necessarily See, the entire yeah. globe. Right.
See if they pull like a Cloverfield or like $50 million. And just like, all right.
Yeah,
fine.
I think, Netflix, I think, did buy it for a good amount of money, right?
I'm sure they
do you
did.
Remember what the number was
I
on it?
I do not.
So
it's just for the foreign market, though, right?
Yeah. Right. So, I don't know if it will eventually come out here. Netflix may have said, after 8 weeks, which this movie's going to get about 4 weeks in theaters, but, they might put it in there later,
right.
But.
They're actually opening up a theater chain of half-dollar shows.
just for the Netflix
movie. Yeah, just for this movie.
So I think for the foreign market, Netflix, I got to double-check, but I think they distributed that Star Trek Discovery.
Netflix
which,
did?
Yes. I know this for reasons.
is that the CBS All Access show?
Yes.
So it goes
CBS
on Netflix,
All Access isn't
overseas.
Global.
Gotcha.
That's, okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
And I will say that show is spectacular.
I heard mixed things.
I thought it was great.
I think
only 15 episodes.
I will say the show Rich Hanley I think had some problems with
really
it.
Liked it.
I think he liked it overall.
I feel like the negative things I've heard about it is because of the changes that it might make to kind of modernize the
yes.
like so basically the complaints I heard were people that were like but that's not Star Trek
well oh, I see
yeah but a start I mean is it's so funny because like a what lot of this? Things that people love about Star Trek and I'm somebody I love all the Star Trek shows
Voyager
and
the Saturday morning cartoon
Deep Space
yes,
Nine
actually I love that. Yeah, because that was the only way we could get Star Trek
totally.
Like that.
Enterprise.
And it was a lot of scripts that were supposed to be.
I liked it. Deep Space Nine, I actually
Deep Space Nine is not bad.
Is it the
and
odd number movies that are bad?
What's the...
It was the...
Yes.
Janeway was Voyager, right?
Yeah.
Which one was Scott Bakula?
I didn't watch either one.
Yeah. I like all Star Trek except
that
one with Scott Bakula.
But the thing is, like, they've always had alternate timelines
sure.
and time jumps. So it's like I took it as like, if it's another
what is this one supposed to be?
Universe. Whatever.
Is it a jump forward
it's,
or jump
no,
back?
No, no. It's the beginnings. It's the early
Got
you
it.
Know. But it's intense. And it's really well done.
How's
but,
James
yeah, I
Frame?
Can see that people what's that?
How's James Frain?
Who's James
is he good?
Frame?
He's the guy who's in the Count of Monte Cristo, is Villefort. The like one of the bad governor.
Is he the captain?
He's in. He's also in.
Who is he in Star Trek?
Well, I don't watch the show.
Oh,
he is a bad guy. He was also in something. God, I can't remember what else now. The reason I ask is I just had a funny story from Wizard World. So Katie and I went and talked to him. I had just introduced Katie to the Count of Monte Cristo, mm-hmm. and I go, you know who that is over there? And she had no idea. And I'm like, that's the bad guy from the Count of Monte Cristo.
Yeah.
I love that movie. Henry Cavill's like 17 in that movie.
Yeah.
It's funny to see him that young. But anyway, so we go up to James Frain, and we're talking to him. Super nice guy. He's like, is that the Sony A7S2 that I'm wearing to take photos for the con? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, I've got that same camera. It's a slick camera. You know, it's just funny that he has the same camera,
yeah.
you noticed. And then he said, he was such a gentleman. Like he's British, you know. So of course, everything that
just give me the yeah. You're talking about Katie, but
it's well, I'm getting there. So everything he says, he sounds like a gentleman. You know, he's British and very, but he is a really polite guy. And he turns to me and he says, "Can I say this?" And I'm like, "I don't know what you're gonna say, right?" But he goes to Katie,
hit record on that camera.
Yeah, right. And he says, "You have lovely hair," because Katie's a redhead, and he's like, "That's very, you know, special and unique." Order. Katie was so, for like the next day, she was so impressed that she was complimented by a movie star. You know, like it's just funny that she
blushed the whole.
Yeah, she was
trip.
Just like, "Oh, you like my hair?" You know? But super.
She's like, "Oh, this old thing."
Yeah, super nice guy. Though.
It's nice when you have. I had to look him up.
Okay.
Yeah, he's really good.
Good. Yeah,
he plays Sarek.
Okay, Sarek.
Spock's dad.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's a Vulcan. Yeah, I should have known because I know in the previews that I've seen he has the pointy ears.
He's very good.
But yeah, he's a great actor. He can Count of Monte Cristo. He's so. I told him, I'm like, I love that movie and you're so good in it, but I'm like, you're so despicable. And it just made him laugh. Like, you know, that's when you have that bad guy like Jason Isaacs, like in Harry Potter. You know, he's so
good.
Who's
also in.
I know, and he's in it too. I know.
Oh, is he really
good? Yeah.
Michelle Yeoh's in it. It's
I knew
really
Michelle
good.
Yeoh was in it.
It's good.
It looks good. But anyway, yeah, so just a funny run. It was just so funny on the way home. You know, Kay's like, oh, he liked my hair.
It's nice when you have those like real interactions because know that they're just churning through the same nine questions over and over again for people. I had when I went through the line for Billy Piper.
Yeah.
In
Halloween Zone.
I was like, what? Was she? I don't know.
I think she was there for Doctor Who.
Could be anyone behind that
Rose.
Mask.
That's true.
I don't know. And so she was signing stuff, and like we had the kids with us, and she was they were both very nice. And she says something, and I noticed it on her knuckle she had tattoos, and I think it was she had tattooed Fox. She had FOX on each, you know. Ooh. And I was like, well, that's an interesting tattoo. And she looks down, and she's like, oh, yeah. And she didn't really say why she got it. And I was like, you're never going to end up in the MCU with a tattoo like that. And she's like, it took a second for it to click. And then she started laughing. She's like, maybe that's why I didn't. Like, you could tell, she really had auditioned for something. And she's like, well, maybe that's why.
That's funny.
I didn't even think about it.
That's funny.
That's pretty good.
But yeah, it is cool when you have, like, I talked, last story, but I talked to John Heder. And he sounds exact like his normal voice is
that
just
he
like
is
Napoleon
Dynamite.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's as accentuated or, you know, but I mean, like, his voice is that. You know,
if you turned your back, you would know.
Yeah, exactly. It's just talking.
It's weird because I don't think his brother sounds like that.
Really?
I don't think his brother has this because I feel like John has the same cadence.
Yeah.
As Napoleon, like, it wasn't too much of a
that's
stretch.
That's what I mean. It is that cadence, Dynamite. Right? Yeah. And like, super nice guy, and I'm just talking to my normal stuff. But when he answered me, and it's just his voice, I'm like, that is super
it's
weird.
Funny. I was just, you know, I was thinking the other day. So, you know, Zach Levi is in the DCEU now. So now he can go to cons, and he can use the Flynn Rider. He's like, I'm a Disney guy, but I'm also a DC guy, but I'm also a Marvel guy. And he's just like, yeah, just pay me.
Oh, that's funny. He is in all of them.
He's crossed over.
I was saying,
and Chuck. Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's probably honestly in the nerd world.
Yeah,
that's probably what people would most want to be.
Depends on how this movie goes.
Yeah.
But
when I saw,
I stand by my statement.
That's fair. That's fair.
When I saw that picture, I'm like, that has to be a muscle suit, right? That arm looks
ridiculous.
They
said that he bulked up.
I'm sure he did, but
there's some enhancement.
That arm,
it's funny.
With the tricep that's bigger than most people's biceps.
It's funny when you see him next to like Cavill.
Yeah.
And Cavill, like, he was just like, no, I got jacked for this movie. And Zach Levi's like, I tried to get jacked for this movie.
Yeah.
And then they put muscle foam in my suit.
Yeah. I'm like, that arm. I mean, you know, what?
I thought the post with the mustache, I thought was kind of my favorite.
Yeah. That was.
Oh. Yeah. When Cavill posted beneath it, it was even better. So good.
Yep. Coming in at number 9, the movie of the day.
Oh, there it is.
Oh, swing. Talk about swinging a miss.
$3 million on a $35 million budget.
Oh my God.
I will
not
say this.
Not a small budget, I mean.
For $35 million.
It's a good-looking movie.
That movie looked
the
pretty
special
good.
Effects. Yeah. And
the
I'm
stunts.
Like, and I'm like, how did they film that? Because it looks like they're in a hurricane for a lot of it. Like,
my issues with this movie have nothing to do with this. I will say, like, the special effects, except for two things, which we'll talk about. The special effects, I was like,
they're fine.
That looks,
I think your problem was on the page.
Or not on the page.
Well, it's most of what was on that page that transferred to the screen, but we'll get into that next time. And rounding out the top 10, now this is an interesting one. Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle, which is available on
now
digital.
Available.
It's been on digital.
It is, isn't it?
It's been on digital for a week or two. That you can just buy it. I'm pretty sure you can at least rent it, but I think you can own it. $2.8 million.
This is a pride thing. This is,
it has to be.
There
has to be.
Well, they're trying to gross $400 million.
Yeah.
They're at 390. So not to get out in front of you, but they're at 397, and they're trying to get to, like, they know one or two more weeks and they can cross.
They can cross that 4 million.
But geez, yeah, 397 domestic, and then overseas is another 530 plus.
That's crazy.
You're talking about right now they're approaching $950 million on a $90 million
budget. So can you see when Rampage comes out and when Skyscraper comes out? Like, out of curiosity?
Yeah.
The Rock's so huge right now, I think they could put them out the same weekend.
It won't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah, people just go from
one
theater to another.
Oh, it's a Rock double feature.
So I have Rampage coming out April 13th, so if they could stay in another month. And then Skyscraper, I know this is very exciting for the listeners.
Sorry, I'm curious as to, like, the gap between these movies.
Welcome to the Chromecast experience.
Ooh.
I don't know. I think it wants us to watch The Rock's movies while we're, it's like, you know what, go ahead, and you're just going to watch these movies.
You get stuck with Be Cool.
Skyscraper, I have a July date, so that's during the summer.
I just find it funny that they're releasing them so close together.
Oh, The Rock's going to be in theaters for 2018.
Yeah. It's weird when you going to see Hurricane Heist, and it was like every other trailer was for
a Rock movie.
Was for a Rock movie. Yeah. Just like,
I feel like this was one of those Hurricane Heist. They were like, can we get The Rock for this? And they were just like, no. He was like, Can we get the guy from the Fantastic Four? Yeah. Any one of
Is
them.
Is this Doctor Doom?
Yeah.
Oh, wasn't he in Kong?
Dr. Van Damme.
He was Kong, the guy.
Well, he's in Kong for very long.
That's
what
I thought. So, anyway, that's the box office.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
I guess that's it for this episode. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter, DanGraney67, GRANEY.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at KevinRBrackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at RogerKubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/TomO'Keefe. If you would like to continue the conversation online, you can find us at facebook.com/realspoilers or on Twitter at realspoilers or at our Facebook page realspoilers or at our website realspoilers.com. So that's it for this episode. Coming up on the next one, we will tackle the movie everyone's talking about. And apparently when I say talking about, they're saying, hey, you shouldn't go see that movie. Oh, cool. Neither should you.
Go see Jumanji.
That's what they're talking about.
We're going to tell you the same thing.
But they are talking about it. So the movie, of course, Hurricane Heist. So
Hurricane Heist.
Nah, I can't do it twice. It's been bad for my throat. So like when I was an altar boy.
Hey,
okay, he's like, no, fair's fair. They did it. So that's a thing.
Oh, boy.
I can't defend. If I shake right. it, then people will be like, he's defended. No, I'm not.
Yeah,
he's like, no, an apologist.
That occurred. So
yeah, I intentionally did not shake the maraca.
You did pick it up.
Right.
Yeah.
But then you
it's the thought that counts.
Yeah. So until then, you've been warned, both about this episode.
And the Catholic
and
Church.
And the Catholic Church. Yeah. Here I am.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.